Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are on planet Earth. Welcome to Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio, Sunday Morning Light. We just want to take a quick moment before we introduce our next guest and thank you individually, not only for being here with us, supporting the work that we do, but also to listening to the voice of spirit that is within you. So, you know, much blessings and much light to everyone, wherever you are. We love you all. We have an incredible show today. We're bringing forth an individual that we just recently met. His name is Mark Ehrlichs. Mark is an internationally known healer intuitive. His gifts are of spirit, and for the past 41 years, he's been able to help those in pain, physically, biologically, neurologically, for trauma. He's sensitive, open, and uncensored. When therapists and medical doctors have reached their potential for helping patients, they often privately suggest that their patients see Mark. So with that, we are very blessed and honored to have Mark with us today. And please join us in welcoming Mark. Hi, Mark. We're so glad that you're on the show today.
I want to thank you very much for having me on. And originally, many years ago, it was 43 years ago, that I was introduced into a Christian order. And the order itself basically saved my life at a very direful time. Someone had found me during that direful time and introduced me to the order. And I went in, they accepted me, and it just worked from there. The first day that I went in, there's a little story. It was just... I was in front of this council, and they said to go into this little chapel and to kneel before the Mary Shrine and wait for them to pick me up and get me something to eat and show me where I was going to be sleeping after I was down there for a little while. So I said, sure. So I went downstairs, and I was at this little Mary Shrine there, and I just waited. But while I was waiting, I was never brought up in a family that had a religious context to it or spirituality or anything. It just wasn't even thought of back then, back in the 60s. So here I am, kneeling before this Mary Shrine, not knowing what to do. And there was a tiredness that came over me, a sleepiness, so I started putting my head down, and as soon as I did, there was a fantastic dream that took me over, and I found myself looking at this old English countryside. There was this huge maze that just went on forever and ever, and then I found myself going past the maze and into this little grassy knoll where in front of me was a brown earthen road, and to the right was it looked like a monastic style type structure that was handmade out of these huge blocks. And then to the left, it was a forest that went into an alcove that went into this forest that was dark and lush and green that you couldn't see into. And all around me was the forest. So here I am in this forested area, in this little grassy knoll, and to the left was the forest, and to the right was this little structure that had a ramp door that opened up. It came down, and a procession of brown-robed monks came out.
Wow.
And as they passed, there were 10 long and 4 deep. So there were about 40 of them. The last row, as it passed me, the third deep one, stepped out, took his hands out of his sleeve, his hood back, and came up to me and introduced himself to me as Raphael. And we just started talking. He was engaged me in conversation in this little grassy knoll area and about healing. So as the conversation went on, I would ask him questions to find things out, and he would ask me questions to bring things out of me. And then eventually the procession came back, and they went back into that monastic style building, whatever it was, and the ramp door went up, and then someone tapped me on the shoulder, and I swung my head around, and it was his brother in the order that said, "Hey, I'm here to get you something to eat and show you where you're sleeping. I'm sorry I'm a little late." So we went outside, and I know that I went in there about 12 o'clock, noon, around that time, and it was already 5.5 hours later that I was there. And so...
That's what an incredible story. Mark, how old were you at this point?
I was 20, 20 years of age. Yes, I was 20.
So in your conscious state in your 20s, were you starting to philosophize? Were you asking questions about life, et cetera?
Nothing. It was totally void. I was literally hating God for everything that I was given in life, in what they called God. I didn't even know God existed. And it was a total, life was a turnoff. I was on the verge of death, just about, in the throes of it. And it was a horrible existence that I was living in my life.
Wow.
And so that's what my life was like before, and then this happened.
So let's proceed here. So you had this encounter with Raphael, and mm-hmm. Let's hear more with basically what happened next.
Well, I just, as the brother tapped me on the shoulder, and I swung. I just thought I had my greatest dream with my life, and so I felt pretty good. I was feeling great. I was conscious, and so I just went off and had something to eat, and they showed me where I was going to be sleeping. And I went back into my negative self, in a sense. And then it was that next morning at 6 in the morning, figuring, God, do I really want to be here? And, what is this, I just want to start traveling again, I was thinking. So I was walking around the building at 6 in the morning, figuring out what I was going to do. And then there was a street bump that was right in front of me, of about 200 feet up. Uh-huh. And he was coming towards me. It was a short fellow. He was greasy head. You could tell he was tattered clothing. He was unshaven, unkempt. And he's walking briskly towards me. And so I thought this guy was going to either knife me, shoot me, swear at me, do something vile or whatever, and or hit me or whatever. And so I'm starting to take my defensive pose as a guy. Mm-hmm. And I was going to knock him out before he even came too close to me. And I figured he was shorter than I was, I could do it. And so he's getting closer and closer and closer, and I'm taking more of a defensive posture, puffing myself up, looking rough and tough and hard to bluff. And so he comes right up to me, and I'm ready to hit him. Then all of a sudden, he is looking at me, and he says, "Put your hands on my head." And I said, "What?" He said, "Put your hands on my head." And I actually felt compelled to do it. And he was shorter than I was, so I knew it wasn't a threat, but he was greasy-headed, so, and he was a street bum, so I figured I didn't want to get embarrassed by, having people see me do this, put my hands on this greasy bum's head. Mm-hmm. And so, if anyone was around, so I felt compelled to actually put my hands on his head, and I did, and for about 5 or 7 seconds, I felt the weirdest sensations out of my hand. I didn't know if it was the blood pressure or what. It was a really heavy electrical tingly sensation. And as I had my hands there, it started to dissipate after these few seconds. And then he said, "Take your hands down," as he was looking at me. And I did. I took my hands down, and I'm watching this guy. And he says, thanks for taking my headache away. And he walked away, and I never saw him again.
Wow.
And it was later that day, another brother came up to me, and a really tall fellow, and said, I got a headache. And I said, so? And he said, I got a headache. And I said, take some aspirin. And he kept looking at me and saying, I have a headache. Then I thought of what had happened that early evening before and what happened that morning. And I said, can I try something really weird with you? And I reached up, put my hands on his head, and I felt the same sensation for those few seconds. And it stopped. I took my hands down, and he said, how in the hell did you do that? I said, why the hell did you ask me? You know, to do it in the first place. He says, I don't know.
So,
and so ever since then.
So how old were you at this point? I'm just trying to chronologically.
It was 20. Yeah, it was
You were still 20.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, now, in yourself, you know, seeing this, that you're witnessing this capability, were you, like, asking yourself, is this me? What's going on? Is this divine source? What was, can you tell us, can you recall what was, what your personality could have been going through?
Good question. Good question. You know, as I think about it now, and as I try to remember, it was almost as though I had no conception of what healing was. I'd never heard of healing before, except through hypnosis. And that was it. And I had seen someone on television one time do hypnosis with someone, and he used it for healing and helping someone feel better.
Uh-huh.
So that was my conception. I had no spirituality in my life. I had no idea that this could be even perceived. And so it was most interesting. So there was nothing there to relate to. And I just had no idea of spirituality. And it wasn't until years went by that from that moment on, for many years, as the years went by, that I realized that this can be used. It was maybe about 20 years later. Excuse me, I apologize. It was maybe 1 year later I started actually working with people in the order and I'm part of the Gnostic Order of Christ, and the Order of the Golden Cross, the two Gnostic orders.
Uh-huh.
They always stress that don't do anything publicly to bring attention to them. So here I am extroverted, and I'm still going out using it, but I'm not telling people who I am or where I'm, you know, where I live or anything like that. It wasn't until years later that I did. Because it was not my place to draw attention to the order, and I was not in any opposition to that.
Yeah.
So
by the time you were 21, because you said it was a year later, was it in your consciousness that this is like a spiritual beginning for your life?
No, I had no conception. I just thought it was something to be kept private.
Amazing.
And that inside of myself, I didn't think of this as something that could be done to change my life publicly. I just thought it was another add-on to life.
I see.
Very interesting. Thanks for asking a question.
No, that's great. So let's keep going here. This is really interesting. So take us through, you know, maybe a few years later. How were things then?
I was finding myself being more extroverted, trying this out, learning what I had learned, and stretching the boundaries over the muscles of it. And it kept growing and growing and growing within me. At first, I worked with, you know, like I originally said, two people with headaches. One of them, I don't know if they were a person or not, but the first one. And then people would have injured legs and those kinds of things. Some people would have sore throats. Some people would have strep throats. Some people would have lung diseases. Some people would have cancer. Some people would. It kept growing and growing and growing, and I didn't know what I was doing, really. So here I am finding all this out in my life and how to work with it. I was trusting the godliness within and all around, and spirit moved through it. The spirit carries life, and I began to realize that. And so I would put my hands on someone or not, say if it was in absentee prayer. I learned how to work with that pretty fluently at an early point because I wasn't allowed to do it in public, so I had to pray for people. And even till today, I'm still doing a lot of prayer work through not externalized prayer, but internal within myself. Someone will call me, we'll talk. I'll see things at times, and I'll work with that in a conversation, in an appointment. And then other people, most people come to see me. I talk with people from all over the world, which is pretty neat. It keeps spreading.
That's in a
sense. Yes, and then a lot of people come to see me, or some people have me come out to their place or town or city or whatever. And it just keeps growing. And I'm trusting the godliness to do it. And it's allowing the hands of God to move through you.
Yeah.
And for the Spirit to move. And that's what's really doing it all. It has nothing to do with me, I've realized. When I first started doing this stuff, though, it was really cool. I would come home every day with someone else's black eye or sore throat, strep throat,
wow,
or injury or whatever, and my teacher would look at me and he'd say, "What the hell happened to you, Orlix, Brother Mark?" And I'd say, I'll tell him this great story, this great healing that happened, as small or as big as it was. And he'd give me some grapefruit juice, send me to bed, and the next morning I'd feel a little bit better. But it kept culminating the discomforts I felt in my body, and it was wearing me out inside.
So you were taking on these
yes,
ailments?
Yes.
Wow.
Even a person's black eye, and it just developed within 5 minutes time. I came home with it. No one hit me, you know.
Yeah.
And every day it would be like that. These fantastic stories, and he'd listen to me, and he'd give me the grapefruit juice and send me to bed. And the next morning, I'd start again after breakfast.
So
and
how
so
old were you?
And I was about 21 at the time. It was actually 21.
I was going to ask, how old were you when you had the realization, yes, this is something beyond, like where you kind of identified it for yourself. How old were you then?
It was 1 year later, 21, that all this was starting to happen with, working at this Bonanza restaurant and people coming to me with injuries and stuff and sicknesses. And it was pretty interesting for me, and I was having a great time with it. I thought it was fantastic.
That's
so
pretty amazing,
then,
being at that age, and
I know,
you know,
I
having
know.
These. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah. And so it was really interesting. It kept culminating so much that it was almost as though I was losing my life. I felt so weak and tired inside.
Got it.
And then he kept saying, "When are you going to learn, Erlix? When are you going to learn, Brother Mark?" And so I guess it was about 3 months later that I decided I just can't do this anymore. I'm too weak. I'm tired. I feel like I'm dying. And so on the bus one day to work, I decided, that's it. I'm not going to do it anymore. So as soon as I get to work, there's about 20 people there, and they're saying, "Erlix is there. Party time. Someone's sick." So they were bringing this person to me, who had this elderly lady who had this massive, massive migraine. And her face is distorted. You could tell she was in pain. She was not a happy camper. And I felt so bad for her. I said, "Sit down, sit down." And all these people are cheering. They thought it was a fantastic thing because Ervis is going to do another healing. And so here I am. I put my hands on her head. And I said, "Oh, my God, I'm going to get this migraine. I can't handle it." And so I said in my head, I'm logicizing here, and I'm saying, okay, if I wasn't able to do this a year prior, then maybe it's what all these people in this order are calling God. So I'm saying, okay, God, you get this migraine. So I started chanting in my head, "God, you get this migraine." And I kept picturing God getting a migraine.
There it is.
And I felt these sensations come out of me, and I'm picturing God just his head pounding and pounding, and face getting all distorted. And then all of a sudden, my indicator said, "It's done." I took my hands off. It took maybe about 30 seconds. And then this woman, I looked at her, and her face had changed. She no longer had the migraine, and I didn't have it. And ever since then, I've never taken on anything from anyone.
So we can say at that point is when that was the answer to that was a point to that question, when are you going to learn?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, wow. That's cool.
And well, since then, go ahead. I'm sorry, Silver.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And since then, I've learned that, these things can be taught. It took years to find this out.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I teach it in the apprentice programs that I have. I have work with it publicly in appointments. I do workshops. And I have an audio book by Nightingale Conan that is a world seller. And it just keeps on going. It's growing.
That's quite an amazing story, Mark. We're so pleased to have you on our show. Cabrini's also here listening in. We had some technical difficulties, so we kind of, instead of having two set of headphones, we're only using one right now, which is fine. It's doable.
All fine.
So, yeah, that's what an incredible story. I want to commend you for listening to yourself, even at that young age. I know I was 21 once, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about anything, thinking that I knew everything. So I completely understand that. I commend you for listening, and for the people who are listening, who are going through something similar within themselves, seeing gifts within them. This is a good example. Mark is a good example of someone who listened to themselves. And I really, really appreciate you stressing that it's not you, that it's a divine source, divine spirit working through you. And I think that's right on when especially for healers. Your story is very intriguing, and you have a whole history of 41 years doing this. Can you tell us some of the methods that happen as you heal? Is there a certain method? Is there any kind of thing you can describe for people?
Sure, there's all kinds of ways that I'll approach a person's illness or emotional instability or whatever, and we all have it. There's no one that doesn't have stuff, and as I tell people, common phrase in my language as well, that we're born into hell, but that's not where we come forth from, and to me, that it's not a destructive negative statement. It's a statement that we're here to find ourselves. So-called reincarnation exists, according to a lot of people, and I sometimes understand the concept of it. And if that's true, though, what would be the purpose of reincarnation, I've always asked? And it's for evolution. It's for growth. It's to find out who we are. There's no other destiny. There's no such thing as fate. And it's for the purpose of knowing ourselves. And so here we are, going through all these experiences in order to get to know ourselves time after time after time. And we're going to be doing it time after time after time again until after this time in order to get to know ourselves. And then we find that gift within. Then we find the godliness within. And there's no one that's greater than anyone else. We're all here for the same purpose. And we're all going through what we need to go through for our purpose of life. To find ourselves, and our true self is like a cell within the mind of God that helps to make up God, and we're in it, and we have it within us as well. That's
what
I feel.
Thank you for that. That's a beautiful analogy. I resonate with that completely. And I was wondering, how do you discern? How do you discern, your personality versus your spirituality in the moments of healing? How do you discern the source? Is there any kind of description you can tell us?
Yeah, the first one that comes to my mind, the first thing, is that we can be doing the dishes and we can be wondering about something and so curious about something or wondering about a person or a thing or whatever, and then all of a sudden, as we're consciously doing the dishes, something will come to us. It will be like an aha moment. It's in that aha moment, the book of Da, I call it, moment, that were like given an answer from within. But we're given that answer, and it's the perfect answer for ourselves too. And it's in that moment, that's the space we want to strive for, where we're perceptive and receptive to hear the guidance, to have something come upon us that we hear it. And we're hearing it from what I refer to as intuition, which means inner teaching. And we all have that within us. We've all experienced that. Or we can be in the shower, a simple act of being in the shower in the morning, and then all of a sudden an understanding comes upon us. Or we're walking down the street and we're thinking of something, and then all of a sudden an answer comes to us, or a revelation to be revealed from within. And that's the state that we can get into by... We can learn to do that by being still, by being quiet. And when we're working or doing something, we have this aha moment come upon us. Always. Everyone has it. And the idea is to find that place more often. And we can do it through meditation. We can do it through contemplation, which is the activity of meditation. And when we're doing the dishes and taking a shower, that's contemplation. We're there already, but no one's ever told us this stuff. So it's been right in front of our eyes always, and right there, and we're a part of it naturally. So
I was
why
just
not
going
do
to
it?
Say that.
Yeah.
It's a very yeah. I was just going to say the word nature, natural. It's very natural. It's a very natural when you're in the space of healing. Can you confirm that it is a very natural feeling? It's almost automatic, natural feeling?
Yes, yes. And everyone has the ability to work with healing. But some people, quite often, that come to me, it's not their place to be healers. It may be their place to be something else.
Sure.
It may be their place to be who knows what gift. There's millions of gifts. And everyone has this ability or a ability of tapping into the godliness within to find themselves, whatever it is. Not everyone needs to be a healer. And so people will come to me that need one for their situations of aches or pains, chronic or disease or whatever. And I always know, though, that it's not the end of the story for those people that do come to me. And there's always more to it. So most people will experience a reprieve in their distresses or a dissipation of their distresses for either 5 minutes or for the rest of their life. And or they may not experience anything right away, but as soon as they walk out my door, they may be healed for whatever reason or in whatever way. Or 2 weeks later, they'll be walking down the street saying, "Oh, my God, when did this leave me?" And other people... you know, they have all these gifts too, and you know, who are we to say that, oh, you're lesser than me or greater than me or whatever? So I tell people about that, about me too. And you know, it's not everyone's place to be something, but I do believe that everyone has the ability to do it. And if they were to put their heart into it and just really focus on it continually, and say I could teach them how to do this in the apprentice training or in classes, whatever. And I've had thousands of people come through my classes in the apprentice training. So they can tap into it to varying degrees or even greater than me if they want. You know, my place is just to help them trigger it, to
yes.
help them to see what aspect they'll be going into if they choose to, whether it be that or just through the intuition to even develop that even greater. Who knows?
Oh, wow. We're so honored to have you on our show and receive all this information. Can you tell us a little bit, Mark, about the relationship between the healer and the person who's being healed? Is there, for those who are new to this, the question is this, you know, what's the relationship between the healer and the one being healed? Is there a certain consent the healer would require? Can you elaborate a little bit on the relationship between the two?
Salvador, that's a great question. You know, basically, as long as I maintain an objectivity and observancy, that's what really does it all. And otherwise, I'm becoming involved in their life. I forgot the term, but you don't want to be so falsely compassionate that you know, you're agreeing with them, and you just don't want to go to that place. You want to listen. You want to listen objectively. And so you have to be indifferent. And some people say, oh, you're being selfless, you have no feeling. And that's not true. You're listening, and you're so open inside while you're listening. And you can practice being that way in life, and that's what helps develop the that program where you can be objective. Objectivity is not cold. Being observant is not cold.
Right.
It's listening with all your heart and seeing. When you're listening, you're really seeing. When you're being objective, you're really seeing what the causes are of things, and that can be practiced. And the more you do it, the more profound it becomes within you, where you get to see things at times in people, and you're separating yourself that you can be utilized as the healer. And that, I think that's the only way that it works, really.
Yeah.
At least from my experience.
When the
others may have a different.
When I was, my next question is, if you can concur, when the person comes to you or another healer, and gives them consent for this healing, would that be the first step in their own healing? Just the fact that they're giving you consent.
I believe, and this is from my heart, I believe that there's no such thing as consent. That's someone else's ideology.
Got
someone
it.
That's...
Elaborate on that for us.
Well, one time I was asking, do I need this person's permission? That was many, 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 many years ago. Do I need permission to work on someone? And inside I got, is it wrong to do good? And that was my answer. And so people will ask me to pray for people that that are totally objective to they're turned off to someone working with them. They don't believe in this stuff. And so can you do it anyway? So I say, yeah, sure, I don't care. God doesn't care. God loves to do this kind of stuff. It's to help people feel better. We're not here to suffer, I don't believe.
Right.
And so I feel free to pray for someone else. Or if someone comes to me and says, I'm the biggest skeptic in the world, can you do something? They gave me permission. They came to me. And so I say, you know, I'm a bigger skeptic than you, honest to God. And I am, too, because, you know, it's not me doing it. I'm curious to see what God's
going
to do, because I
don't
know.
Thank you so much for elaborating that part, that it's not you doing it. So can I say? Can I ask you this also? So is a scenario. So I'll give you a scenario. You know, you're walking down the street or you're driving, and you notice someone who needs healing. Do you just automatically take that on and say, "Well, that guy's got a headache. I'm going to work on him right now."
You know, when I first started doing this stuff, I was incognito. I didn't want anyone to know who I was or anything. I would be in a store. And there was this woman who went up to the cashier and said, do you have any aspirin? I got this massive headache. So I was right in the back of her, and I said, I can help you. So she was looking at me like I'm nuts. And I immediately, I said, may I? And I was reaching towards her, and I didn't even do anything. And as far as any more conversation, I just threw my hands on her head. And she's wide-eyed, looking at me like I'm going to hurt her or something. And my hands are there, touching her head. And it took about 5 or 7 seconds again. And then I felt my indicators. It felt like a wash through me. And then I took my hands down. She said, what happened? How did you do that? Who are you? And I said goodbye, and I didn't, you know, because I'm not supposed to tell anyone who I was, you know, or where, you know, where I live or anything. And so no public attention. And
that's
so
funny. I get it's funny to hear you say people coming up to you and asking you for aspirin. you know, because they have a headache. It gets, you know, when we have a spiritual, when we have a spiritual life, there's a lot of enjoyment, and there's a lot, and in some cases, there's a lot of comedy, not at people's expenses, but it's, it gets pretty, it gets pretty comical.
Yes, yeah, I've had lots of situations where I've gone up to people that I knew were hurting. There was one time I was driving down the street in Chicago, and there was this little girl right in front of me in the big mass of traffic on this one main street, Toohey Avenue in Chicago, and she had fallen and on her bicycle, and her cuff was caught in the spokes, and all these cars are coming around. So I threw my car around. I was so concerned for this little girl, and I threw my car around to block any cars from hitting her in the middle of the street. And so all these cars starting to screech to a halt, and I went up to her. I said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And she says, "My knee is hurt." And so I put my hands on her knee, and then it lasted for a couple seconds. I took my hands off, and she just looked at me, and she said, "Thank you." And then I left. I pulled my car out and went out of there. So all these situations we can relate to and have in our life had happened, you know. And there, some of them can be amusing, you know, like throwing my hands on people's heads, which I did a million times, and leaving, you know. And
the car scene you just spoke about, it seems like it like it came out of a movie scene. That's, I'm picturing it in my head, and it's pretty pretty funny how you describe that. So Mark, what about about yourself? Okay, like let's say your own ailments, your own headaches, like is it something that, you know, just doesn't happen to you any longer since you've been healing for so long? Is, can you tell us a little bit about your own experiences with suffering during as you're living your spiritually purposed life?
Oh, sure. You know, I'm no different than anyone else. I go through things, but I figure that, you know, oh, if it's not minor, if it is minor, I'll say, okay, it'll go away. I have nothing to worry about it. But if it starts to turn into something major, then I start to really worry inside, and I start going inside, God, you know, here I am, this great healer, and, you know, I can't even heal myself. You know, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to die. I feel like I'm sick, and I'm getting worse and worse, and what are people going to think about me? I go through these ego things as well.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, by the next morning, it's gone. And if it's really bad, and it's, if it's something, you know, of a disease process I think I'm taking on or whatever, in life, say if someone, one time, many years ago, there was, I was on an escalator going down in this mall, and some fellow in Nashville sneezed on my neck. And I turned around, gave him a dirty look, and didn't say anything, and I just kept going. I figured, what's the use? And so I realized then, oh, my God, he sneezed on me. He had a cold, so I want to get this cold. And so it was that night that I started feeling like I was getting a cold, and I thought, this is interesting. I haven't had a cold in 15 years. And so I'm starting to have a scratchy throat, then it turns into a sore throat. I'm starting to get a lot of congestion. I said, this is really interesting. I was so curious as to what a cold felt like after so many years. And I figured, oh, I can handle it. But the next morning, I couldn't handle it. It was too much for me. And I was very sick. And I had a fever, and it wasn't pleasant at all. So I started to think, oh, my God, I'm sick. How am I going to, you know, be the healer in the world, you know, if I'm sick? And what are people going to think about me? And it was by later that day, it started subsiding and then going away. And or there's other times that I think that I've had pneumonia and that it went away. And other times that, you know, it keeps on going, or aches or pains in my body. There was one time I injured my knee. I slipped on some wet grass carrying some groceries in it. And when I slipped, my kneecap went into the cement stoop of the of where I was living. And so it broke in about 20 or 30 places. And I was taken to the hospital. I'm in shock and thinking, oh, my God, you know, I'm injured really bad. And then the doctor said, there are two specialists in Virginia at this hospital, and they said I would both of them said I would never walk right again after the surgery. So, and I was a runner at the time as well. So, for 3 months I was in bed and just in total misery, knowing that I was never going to walk right again. I was picturing myself how I was going to be crippled, and it kept on going in my head, the story I was making. And then one day I decided, what the hell am I doing? And I started going inside of myself. This was many, many years ago. And I started exercising a little bit, and I was fine. I was just totally fine. Now I'm, you know, running a little bit. I go to the mountains and I go off trail and I climb.
You know, Mark, I was just going to ask you about your lifestyle. There's a telepathy happening here because you're answering it as I'm driving questions. Speaking of questions, are you willing to take any phone calls?
Sure. Oh, I'd love it.
Okay, the phone number for our audience is area code 267, and the number is 521-0151. If you're on the line, just press number 1, and that means you want to speak. Right now we're going to take an intermission, and we'll be back in a few minutes. How's that sound, Mark?
Wonderful.
Okay, I'll just put each other on hold here while we take a break.
Excellent.
While we take a short break, please take a moment and bookmark our Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio. If you're living a spiritually purposed life and want to connect and co-create with others in the spiritual community at large, become a member of Ultra Natural Cooperative. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter, and for more information, visit our website at alltruenatural.com, promoting awareness as a key to harmonious living.
Welcome back to the show. We're here with Mark Ehrlichs, intuitive healer. Fascinating story. I'm honored to even hear his story and the way spirit works through his life. And I just want to ask Mark, can you tell us a little bit about what you're up to these days? How can people contact you, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure. I have a number, 888. 380-6388, and people can call for appointments or inquire about the apprentice program, or they can go to my website, and which is Mark Ehrlichs, ehrlix.com. It's not totally updated yet, but they can contact me through that as well. And my email is mark@markehrlichs.com. And I also have on my website the audiobook, The Apprentice Book, The Verbal Apprentice Program. It's about 8 CDs with a workbook by Nightingale Conan. It's awesome. People all over the world are getting it. And it was a number one seller for them for several months. And people are still getting it today, which is incredible. And it's been out for a little over a year now. And I have a couple other books that are out. My original book was Creator, The Revelation of Healing Yourself and Others, and also Take My Life, another book. And I have audio CDs of meditations and spiritual exercises that are available on the website as well. And I people sponsor me all around the country to do workshops. Right now I'm in California. I just finished a workshop on spiritual healing. And it was a day workshop and 2 days of appointments. That went very, very well. I just finished it all. And I'm ready to go back to Arizona now. And next I go to Chicago, and then I go to probably Escondido, California. And then I'll be going to North Carolina for several days, and then it keeps on going.
And I was on break. I was talking to you about YouTube. Are you on YouTube as well?
Yes. There's a few YouTubes up talking about healing. I'll be putting in, or my web person, webmaster, will be putting in several more in the next week or two. And there'll be little bits on healing and things that have happened. On the website, there's a lot of testimonials of people that have been that I've worked with. They've been gracious enough to do that. And there's a lot of stories and testimonials, I should say. And it just keeps on growing and going.
Mark, what about what about groups? Have you ever encountered where you had to do, you were open enough where the healing was going on to more than one person?
Oftentimes, I have a healing circle in Arizona. Uh-huh. And as soon as people start walking in, something starts happening to them. And they can feel the God juice, as I call it, coming inside of them, and they feel aches and pains or emotional dilemmas dissipating, and or something happening to them, and they're not sure what it is. And by the time they come up in the center of the circle, or it's their time to be worked with for a couple minutes, then something has changed in them. And quite often, people experience healing just being in that godliness presence that's there for everyone. And so that's what happens.
It is truly available for everyone. It's truly, truly there. Can you tell us can you tell us what what you've noticed in the last 5 years with humanity and any type of awakening? Have you noticed an awakening in the last few years?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I call it evolution. And even if it is destructive times, like in a lot of parts of the world, there's a lot of turmoil. And a lot of the turmoil is in the tribal areas. And the tribal is going out or no longer of that consciousness. The tribal is dissipating where it's coming into like a oneness. But there's a transition that happens. There's a conflict that happens within us as the change happens. And so I feel that's what humanity is going through, is that great change for evolution. And it's not the end of the world by any means. I don't promote that, and I don't see that when I do ask inside or see inside. And I'm always reassured that everything's really okay. It's all on the mend. It's all in progression of evolution, of becoming more God conscious within ourselves, and everyone has this within them. And the old ways can't stand very long anymore, and so they have to be, you know, kind of washed away. And that's what's happening in the world, especially in the past 5 years. We're seeing an escalation of things, and that's what we're going through in life, and
yeah,
even in our own personal lives.
Yeah, I mean, even a radio show, you know, with people, with healers on, you know, speaking is being accepted more and more, and that's just one detail of the whole thing. So I concur as well. I'm glad that you notice this and confirm it with us.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's your next project? You're headed to Arizona, you said?
I'm going to be going back to Arizona where I'll be seeing more people on appointments and talking over the phone on appointments. And then I'll be going to, I'm going to Seattle first for a couple of days workshop and appointments. And then I'll be going to Michigan for the first time. College students, a couple college students experienced me in Chicago a couple weeks ago. And they got a group of people together. And it's going to be a huge workshop. They already have signed up and already signed up 3 days of appointments, and within a week, which was totally amazing. So I'm hitting a younger crowd now, which is really wonderful. I feel that younger people are so natural at this, and they have the propensity to work with these things as well. And it's almost like they were born into this.
I want to share with you,
Mark. Yeah.
Mark, I want to share with you an experience I had. I had a Reiki healing in Florida when we did our tour, you know, filming people across the country. We ran into a friend who works with children who does Reiki, who do Reiki healing. So I'm on the table, and it got to the point where, you know, it wasn't where the children had to stop, take deep breaths. What they did was they had a bunch of these crystals, and they were intuitively picking a certain crystal and placing it on my body. And in that meanwhile, Mark, they started giggling. It ended up being a laughing fest all of a sudden with everybody, and that was part of the healing process. Yeah, it was so amazing. And it was so natural for them. You know, it was just like, for them, it was just like a fun time. And there was this incredible healing going on. So, yes, I agree with the younger people.
Oh, okay, incredible.
Yeah. So I have someone here asking, oh, he's coming to Michigan. Where?
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Ann Arbor, Michigan. And can you give us an approximate date on that?
Yes. Let me see here. I am going to be there. Let me get my book here. Good question.
Sure.
I appreciate that. I'll be going to Ann Arbor March. I'll be seeing people in appointments on the 20th of March. The 21st, I'm doing a four-hour pilot workshop on anxiety, and there's no one that doesn't have some form of anxiety, whether worry, depression, whatever, obsessive compulsive things, fear. I'll be doing a four-hour pilot workshop on anxiety, and then Sunday and Monday I'll be doing appointments as well.
So we're looking at March 20th and the 21st.
The 20th is the appointments, and then the 21st is the four-hour pilot workshop, and then the 22nd and 23rd is appointments as well.
Okay. Yeah,
and
I grew up.
They can contact me for that.
Okay, that's great. I grew up in the Great Lakes area too. It's a beautiful place. Lake St. Clair looks like a heart if you look at it on a map. So it's a pretty powerful place there. And I've known very very genuine spirit filled people in that area. So I think it's going to, I think you're doing good doing that for people, and I think you'll have an incredible experience as well. We have about one more minute left, and
sure. Let me give him my contact number again, just in case. It's 888-380-6388.
There you have it, folks.
And if I don't answer right away, I'll give a call back within 24 hours.
Yeah, this connection we have today, you know, this spirit connection we have today, I'm very thankful for. I'm thankful for being present, you know, in myself. I'm thankful for you being present here. My wife, what a great conversation. I think our dialogue and conversation will probably continue way after, you know, today. I know that, and it's been such a pleasure meeting you. I'm going to hand the mic over to Cabrini, and she'll end the show for us today. Thank you, Mark. Thanks
Wonderful.
For everything.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you, Selkor.
Much love. Blessed Spirit, Mark. And we
Blessing
are so,
to you.
Yeah, we're so glad that you were able to come on our show and share your message with humanity. For those of you that are listening to our show, you know, feel free to connect with Mark. He's on Facebook, Mark Ehrlich, if I'm saying that correctly, Ehrlich. And
yes,
you can also...
Also at Spiritual Matters with Mark Ehrlich on Facebook.
And also visit his website at markehrlich.com. We support individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives. If you are one of those such people, you know, feel free to contact us through our website, which is alltruenatural.com, and also connect with us via email, which you can find on our contact page. We love you, and we bless you, and we wish you a blessed, blessed day. Have a great day, everyone.